Good morning, everyone. My name is Matt Crane. I'm the Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder and the Chair of the E-Recording Technology Board. And we will begin our meeting this morning. The time is 11:08. And, you know, we have something on our agenda today to talk about the administration around this board. But in the interim, I've asked Pam Anderson, the Executive Director of the Clerks Association, to handle the minutes and the roll call this morning. And then we can talk about something a little more permanent as we go through the meeting. So I'd like to turn it over to Pam to do a roll call.
Good morning. Matt Crane.
Present.
Gary Zimmerman.
Here.
Scott Stuckey.
Here.
Sheila Reiner.
Here.
Gary Leese.
Here.
Deborah Johnson.
Here.
Sam Sterrett.
Present.
Susan Corliss.
Here.
And Gilbert Ortiz is absent but is on his way.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Pam. Okay, the first item on the agenda today is the approval of the minutes from our first meeting on August 12th. Thank you, Gary, for jumping in and doing those on very short notice. Did anybody have any corrections, or is there any discussion around the minutes? No. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from October 12th?
I would move to approve the minutes from August 12th.
Okay, thank you. And is there a second?
Second.
All right, thanks, Susan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved as is. The second thing on our agenda this morning is to, as I just mentioned, discuss the admin and clerical support role going forward for this board. And during our first meeting, we had talked about having Pam Anderson, the Executive Director of the Clerks Association, handle the duties until we could get something a little more permanent in place, with the idea that the Clerks Association, she would be paid by the Clerks Association to do the work. And then the board would reimburse the Clerks Association for the services once the opportunity was there to do that. Pam's rate, just for everybody's consideration, is $75 an hour. So I wanted to put it out to the members of the board. Is that acceptable for the interim until we can get a more permanent solution in?
So,
yes, Mr. Chair. Please.
So need to do some math here, but the fiscal note for this board's activities is something that I want to double check, but okay. It's a relatively modest number.
I think it was about less than $6,000, wasn't it?
Less than $6,000,
right.
Yes. So I just think we need to consider how many hours it's going to require for Pam to devote.
Okay. Pam, do you mind stepping to the mic?
Gives us 80 hours.
So Sheila says that gives us 80 hours, but then, yeah, I was just going to think there's reimbursement to consider as well for travel and those types of things. So I guess, Pam, do you have a guesstimate? I know you've been looking at this. Do you have a guesstimate of how long it would take you per meeting? And I know it will vary a little bit, but a pretty good swag on what it would take to do the minutes, to schedule the meeting and notices, that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was one of my questions before bringing forward an actual proposal is what division is for frequency of meeting for the fall before you guys click into your revenue gathering period, I guess, where you could look at a more permanent solution. And that really depends on your subcommittees and how frequently you want to meet. And but the preparation of the agenda or the minutes is very nominal. It's, you know, an hour, even depending on the length of your meetings, with note taking. So I don't see it as a significant number of hours if you're meeting once a month for this board for the fall. The subcommittees, it would be the additional, depending on how you structure that, which I believe is an agenda item. So we've got September, October, November, December, 4 months, you know, maybe 25 hours. Seems to be about right, excluding adding a lot of subcommittee meetings. But.
Okay, just a thought, because I mean, I love the solution.
Uh-huh.
There may be a timing issue, just like there will be a timing issue for, sorry, I should have said, we don't have anyone dialing in, but for recording purposes, this is Gary Zimmerman. So the fiscal note is also meant to encompass the grants, the grant process, and then the taking in of the funds as well as the dispersing of the funds.
Okay.
So that also encompasses Secretary of State staff time. My recollection is that reimbursement for T&E for board members, as well as
covered by the
The executive director, could come from the revenue that's derived. And if that's the case,
a reimbursement for Pam's time during the interim should be covered just fine.
Should be just fine. And okay. If we run into any problem, if the clerks association is okay with deferred reimbursement, we'd be fine once we get to February. So I don't want to belabor it. I just wanted to.
I think we'll probably look for a pretty good interest rate on that too.
That's some usury going on.
Morning, Will.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Matt.
Yes, Pam.
I would just note for the record that Board Member Ortiz has entered the meeting.
Thank you.
I have a suggestion. I would propose that we, in the interim, we do it not to exceed 50 hours initially. Then we would have, you know, a cap in the event that the those other expenses, you know, creep up, then you still have some extra for that. 50 hours would be 37 or 47. No, $3,750. So, I mean...
Okay, so are you making a motion then?
I'm waiting.
Or just putting it out? Yes.
I just put it out for discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would encompass any subcommittee meetings, you know, and give some room. And of course, certainly if there were additional duties that you needed assistance with, we could discuss that, you know, as we went along and come back to the board. I think that would be more than sufficient.
Okay, then I will I'll make a motion not to exceed 50 hours for administrative help from Pam Anderson.
Second.
Okay. And just to be clear for the record, too, so not to exceed 50 hours, and then the Clerks Association will cover the expense and then be reimbursed at a time when the fund is ready to start paying out money. Right? Is that everybody's understanding?
That would be the worst case scenario. Okay. I'd like to check with our controller and just make sure that everything's copacetic. We may be able to
do
handle
something.
The reimbursement and then maybe get our money back once there's revenue.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. And you know we're okay. So if it takes a little time,
okay. If you're okay,
we'll be okay. Okay. So with the motion on the table and seconded, any further discussion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, very good. So we have a plan for the interim. And then in terms of long term, I think we probably should work on a job description. And I think some of your experience will help in that job description as we go forward. And then as we get closer to the end of the 50 hours, we can look to post that job description.
This is Pam Anderson. Yeah, we can work on a position development. And depending on your discussion on subcommittees, if that's something you want me to work with the subcommittee on or whatever mechanism, I'm happy to help.
Okay. Thanks, Pam. Okay, any other questions on this role or on this topic? Okay, so next on the agenda is to talk about the committee and subcommittee governance. And when we were putting together the agenda, we put down a few items here for discussion. Strategic plan development, model RFP, grant process development, and enterprise administration. We put these out as talking points. I know in the legislation it actually broke down different items of consideration as well. So I'd like to open it up to the floor and see, first of all, what people think about the four proposed and if there's any that should be included or any of these that should be taken out or joined together. So I'd like to open it up to the group and start that conversation.
Matt, beforehand, I've just been advised by Jeff here that the broadcast is barely picking us up.
Oh, okay.
So if we can move our...
Just talk closer.
Just a little
bit
closer.
You got it. Thank you. All right, is there anybody who'd like to jump in? Yes, Deb.
I have a question. In terms of enterprise administration, is that with the Secretary of State or Pam or both, or what does that include?
Yes, I think that's part of the short answer. I think we need to talk about what that goes to. And I would think that definitely with the Secretary's office, and I'm sure that Pam and then whoever is on permanently would be heavily involved in that as well.
So that's what that committee would be doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is Sheila. And as far as the strategic plan development, I would think that that is the development of our charter and probably outlining milestones, goals for each year.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Deb, and can we volunteer before we're voluntold?
Yes. I mean, we'll go down and talk about preferences, sure. I mean, go ahead.
I would like to be on the model RFP since we recently did one and Sheila did one and we all used each other, so.
Okay. Why don't we, I think everything here is fairly straightforward in terms of conversation and understanding what topic they're going to attack. So maybe it would be a good time to go down now and see where people's preferences are. Sam, do you have a preference?
I wouldn't mind participating in strategic plan development and enterprise administration.
Okay. Deb, is there any other ones, Deb, that you'd want to serve on?
This is Deb. I'd go grant process.
Scott?
I don't have any preference.
No preference? Bo?
This is Bo. I'd prefer grant process development.
Sheila?
This is Sheila, and my energy would be in the strategic plan development.
Okay. This is Gary Lees, and I really have no preference. Okay. I'm open to all.
Okay. Susan, do you have a preference?
Susan, no preference.
This is Gary Zimmerman. Grant process, since our office is going to be the bank on this, I think that makes sense. Just a comment outside of my own preference. I think that on the RFP development, it would really serve us well if we had at least one of our private sector technologists, because we do have two technologists.
This is Scott. I'm happy to do that.
Awesome. Okay. Okay, so Gary, grant development, were there any others? Or?
I'd be happy to help out on enterprise administration as well. Okay. I think we'll have our fingers in that too.
Okay. And I'm happy to help with the strategic plan and the enterprise administration as well. Okay, I'm just looking at it now. Let's see, we have three people on strategic development. We have two on the model RFP, Devin Scott, and then we have three on grant and on enterprise. So we're pretty evenly distributed, so it's really wherever you both would like to jump in at on a subcommittee.
This is Gary Lees. I'd volunteer for the model RFP.
Okay.
Susan, I would go for on the enterprise administration.
Okay. Okay, so this is what I have. For strategic plan development, I have Sam, Sheila, and myself. For the model RFP, Deb, Scott, and Gary. For the grant process development, Deb, Bo, and Gary. And then for the enterprise, Sam, Gary, Matt, myself, and Susan. Is that correct? Okay. Well, good. Now, when looking at this list, did anybody think that we didn't capture something here that we need to tackle? Anything?
This is Sam Sterrett. Does one of those subcommittees include budgeting? And if so, which one in terms of setting is that grant process development that would set the fee or determine the fee and then determine budgeting from there on?
Well, I think one of our goals today is to set the fee.
Okay.
I know Sheila and Deb have worked to prepare a presentation for us.
Okay.
Overall budgeting, I imagine that it would be encapsulated in a few of them, strategic plan certainly.
Okay.
And go from there. Any thoughts?
I was actually, this is Gary, I was thinking more along the lines of enterprise administration. Strategic planning usually, I mean, budget tags along with it, but that's more on the tactical, you know, business plan side. So it's my two cents.
Okay, that makes sense to me. I just wasn't clear if we had to develop our own internal budget, and if so, was that a subcommittee that we were dealing with that on, or was that a board-wide issue?
I'm certainly open to talking.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. I mean, I think
peel it out separately.
Right. What's the group think?
This is Deb, and I would definitely think it should be a board decision, but I think it should come out of the enterprise administration for us to review and approve.
Okay.
That makes sense to me.
Everybody else okay to keep it there in the enterprise?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other questions about the different subcommittees? Okay. In terms of frequency of the meetings, my thought process, at least for now, for the entire board, I think, especially considering the presidential election that some of us are tending to, probably makes sense to go once a month, at least into December, and then into next year we can look at a different schedule. But the subcommittee meetings, what's everybody feel like for that? I know there's a lot of work to be done. So, you know, it may need to be where the subcommittees meet a couple of times before the next meeting, depending on people's availability and that type of thing. I don't know if we want to set up a standard here or let the subcommittees break, you know, have their first meeting and then come together and see what's necessary for each subcommittee. But I'd like to open that up for the, you know, for conversation.
This is Gary. I would encourage us to consider doing the subcommittee meetings telephonically.
Okay.
We have the election to consider, but we have our private sector friends here who have travel schedules, in some cases very heavy, and then we have our geographic disparities. So assuming if everyone's comfortable with that,
okay,
we could do those by go-tos and webinar.
Okay.
This is Deb. I think why don't we kind of back into it? Why don't we set a timeline on when we want to accomplish these? And then we can kind of figure out, you know, with our time, everyone's time commitments already, that what can we actually commit to between now and whenever we decide we wanted to have those complete.
Okay. All right. So we can go down the list then and talk about that now for each different group. For strategic plan development, obviously I think that's something that we need to tackle fairly quickly here. I would suggest that we have something for the board to consider on the strategic plan by the time we meet next. Is there any conversation around that?
Whoa.
Is that a little too aggressive?
Well, I don't know who's got, you know, it depends on everyone's time schedule. I mean, I was going to say January 1st, but so you have that strategic
plan. Well, I'm thinking a draft to move forward with, not necessarily having it nailed down, and this is what the next 18
okay.
months are going to look like, but at least a draft, because things are going to start happening fairly quickly here, right? Where we're going to start collecting fees and that, you know, so I think we have to move fairly quickly.
Well, so just my comment on this is we're looking at a strategic plan, you know, not like at a corporate level or an agency level. I just want to make sure my thoughts are clear on this. I'm thinking mission, vision, values, and just our goals,
right?
And stop there, because if we get down in the objective level, then it becomes more of a tactical plan,
right?
So it becomes pretty high level exercise. Mm-hmm.
That was my thought as well on strategic planning, is more, you know, 50,000 foot level,
right,
rather than
yeah.
on the ground day-to-day operations,
right? Yes, Pam.
And I would say that this is Pam Anderson. I would say that the legislation points to a lot of that as well. So I would agree that 50,000 level and maybe the goal setting for short term, long term, and call it a day at that would make a lot of sense. And I think the bill points to a lot of that when you look at it.
Right, a lot of that's there.
And if we have any discomfort with staying real high level. I was going to offer this at some point. We do have business analysts and project managers on our staff that I could snag one or more of them for an hour or two that could build project plans with milestones and, you know, metrics and other stuff that we would want in there.
Right.
So that would allow us to be very high level on the strategic plan without getting too much into minutia.
I think that'd be great.
This is Deb, and I think I agree with what's being said in terms of the high level, but I think that once we start issuing grant dollars, there's going to be some really minutia administrative stuff, whatever that is, that goes with it that we may have to get a little more, you know, into a deeper dive in terms of actual administrative policies and procedures of how that's going to actually run.
Agreed.
This is Sheila, and with what's been discussed and consideration of that, I do see it kind of a living document going forward, and I think that it would be attainable for us to come up with an outline by the next meeting, given that it's at least 1 month away.
Right. Okay, so we'll move forward then along that line to have an outline, and so we'll maybe look to schedule a meeting. We'll look to shoot for the next week or two. We'll send out an email to the subcommittee to find a good time for that. Model RFP. What do folks think on that?
This is Deb again, and I think if we back into it, you know, and we kind of, you'll see when I'll be projecting out that we won't have enough funds until September to actually award any grants. So, I mean, I don't see that, you know, we need to have this like next month. So I would suggest, you know, January, February, so that then we can hammer it out and look at, you know, what, make sure, number one, that we are getting all of the functionality that our partners want to make sure us that we have. So,
okay. Any thoughts on that? I think it makes sense. Any thoughts on that? Or different thoughts? Okay. So the model RFP, we'll look to really kick off those conversations in depth in January and February. The grant process development. Mm-hmm. Kind of goes along the same timeline of the RFP, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite hear that.
I'm sorry, Gary. The grant process development, kind of somewhat along the same lines of the model RFP discussions and timelines, I think. Pam?
And my thought on that, too, it might go along with recruitment of your executive director, because I think you would want whomever your executive director to be very involved in development of that administration in concert with the committee. So I would agree that after the first of the year makes a lot of sense too, so you could hit the ball roll, you know, hit the ground running with whoever your administrator is.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that? Everybody good with that timeline? Okay, and then enterprise administration.
This is Sam. I sort of see this one as acting hand in hand with the strategic plan and maybe being that lower level sort of in the trenches day-to-day operations of the enterprise. Okay. So it would seem that developing the broad outline for the strategic plan would come first, and then sort of implementation of that and fleshing out the details would come second in the enterprise administration aspect.
Okay. Any other? Okay. Gary, thoughts?
So I heard a comment a moment ago that we would be looking to start at least the grant process early next year, right? Because that's when we'll have revenue that will start accruing?
No.
Is it fall of next year?
Fall of next year. Okay, excuse me.
Right.
Then never mind.
Okay. Okay, so if I understand, Sam, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this your vision is this falls in somewhere after as we get the strategic plan a little bit settled and then we kick in with this, or dual tracks at the same time?
I think that it makes sense, and certainly I'm open to suggestion. I mean, it's all sort of new to me, but it seems to make sense that the strategic plan at least be outlined, and then from that, on the enterprise administration level, we determine what it is that we actually need to do in order to carry that strategic plan out.
Okay. Okay, I think that makes sense. Any further discussion on that?
This is Sheila. So if we were to put a date on that, would we be envisioning maybe December?
Well,
November?
So strategic plan, I'm showing that we're talking about a month from now right. to have at least a high-level outline, and then mm-hmm. a month after that would be early November.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Assuming that the work on the assuming that the work on the strategic plan is satisfactory at that point.
Right.
So, yeah. Right. Okay. All right. I think that makes sense. So strategic plan one, enterprise will kick in after that. And then the first of the year is when we'll start looking at the model RFP and the grant development. Okay. All right. Very good. Any other discussion on the subcommittees before we move on? All right. Thanks, everyone, for volunteering. On that. I know it's a busy time so for all of us, so thank you for your commitment to that. Next, we wanted to have a conversation on the fee analysis, and hopefully I think the goal for today is to come away with how we're going to move forward with the fee. And so Sheila and Deb have done a lot of great work on this over the last few years, and so I've asked them to put together a presentation for us today to start that conversation. So I will now turn it over to Sheila and Deb.
Okay. All right, thanks, Matt. This is Sheila, and I think the first part of this is going to be mine.
Yes.
To start out with. In the purple folders that I handed out, there is a bill, copy of the bill, just in case you didn't have it. I thought that that might be handy to bring along. And then the next document is a presentation that we gave to the Clerk and Recorders Association and any of our interested stakeholders at the end of 2014 as we worked on this issue. And so I'll just go through these slides briefly. And some of the information on these slides contains the vision that we had back then, and that is not what happened in the bill. So I will highlight those things as we go through. So first of all, the 2013 group, and that was led by Deb Johnson and the Recording Statute Review Committee co-chairs at the time for the Clerks Association, did a lot of data gathering. And what we found from the data that they gathered is that 55 out of our 64 counties are not able to sustain the maintenance fees for their current recording systems. The current fee is $1 per document. That was sunsetting in June of 2017, so we knew that we had a pressing issue to take care of just for the sunset part, let alone whether or not the fee was appropriate. And we knew that they couldn't maintain the systems with that $1 going forward, even if it was just extended past the sunset, let alone upgrade or enhance any functionality that any of the counties currently enjoy. And their customers, I should say. So there were 9 counties found in that data that were able to maintain their systems with the $1. So that's the larger counties with the larger volumes. 10 counties were close. They were about nearly breaking even, just slightly short of maintaining their current systems. And then it gets worse from there. 32 counties were in the next category. And you can see where the red bars is the maintenance cost, and the green bars are what they were bringing in revenue from that $1 fee. And then 13 counties were even worse off. So that's how the counties broke out. Is there any questions? I'll just pause right there. Okay. We estimated that 34 of the 55 counties needing more support from the fees record less than 20,000 documents per year. So if they're recording 20,000 documents per year, that's what their income is in their tech fee and the fund balance. We estimated that 21 of those 55 recorded less than 10,000 documents and 11 less than 5,000 documents. So those are the extremely small counties that are required to keep the functionality moving and the technology in place, but yet do not make enough in their tech fund dollars to keep it up. So the moral of the story there is that regardless of the size, the maintenance fees for the electronic recording systems are still nearly the same. So even if the county is small, they're still paying a lot in their maintenance fees.
The Clerks Association in the summer of 2014 got together with stakeholders. We started bringing the stakeholders, they've always been involved, but even more to the table. And we started the meeting by asking what they needed to have in the systems going forward. We invited the Bar Association, Land and Title, Gas and Oil, Realtors, and Lenders to the table. And we gathered priorities for what Colorado's recording systems should look like in the future. And from that meeting, and I'm moving to page 5 of our slides here, the stakeholders wanted to, first of all, ensure the sequence of recording. So the race to record was a priority for them. Then provide online access to public documents in all counties. We heard from them that researchers have a hard time moving from county to county, not only with how to search things and how they might be indexed, but also just the mode of access, and then a wide array of how to pay for those documents online. Standardize the recording methods between the counties was also one for them, and I kind of already covered that just in that it varied from county to county how documents were indexed. So even searching for something was a challenge when you went from one jurisdiction to another. For the clerks at the table, the clerks' priorities were to find a funding mechanism to continue to support the systems.
Shoot, let me ask a question really quickly there. In terms of that, hi, this is Matt. In terms of that last bullet for the stakeholder standing, recording methods, and I just want to be clear on that, is that methods or was there also a desire for a standardization of system in that discussion?
We did not discuss a standardization of system, although I understand that goes kind of hand in hand with that sort of a statement. What we were really more focused on, I think, at that point was the practices, the best practices, like if you call an oath in one county, don't call it an OOO, oath of office in the next county kind of a thing. Those are the things that we discussed. The other thing was, as far as recording methods, the timing was brought to the table. Like some counties are almost within 24 hours verified and posted to their internet. In other counties, it can lag for a number of days before from the time you record a document to when it's actually posted and available for the public to see. Did I cover that okay, Deb? You were at that meeting as well?
It was perfect.
Okay.
Thanks.
Then the clerk's priorities were also to improve archiving and historical document preservation. The clerks described struggling with the old paper books and keeping them bound and keeping them in good enough shape for public view. Digitizing those records are expensive, and then once you get them digitized, to actually make them searchable in an electronic system is a whole other project. And so those were goals that we all want but are unable to achieve at this point. And then also satisfy the needs of our customers and our citizens. Of course, that's why we're in office, is so that we can continue to satisfy their needs and their requirements of us. So the next slide we go to is titled The Initial Plan. And we wanted to create a request for information so we could identify how much money would be needed to procure potential systems to satisfy the stakeholders and also the clerk priorities. The RFP was completed in October 2014, and I've got some information on that in this packet. And the vision was to eventually issue an RFP so that the medium and small counties could opt in and benefit from the economies of scale that could be provided by such an effort. Out of the RFI, the initial estimates that we came out with is that replacement of systems in the large counties would cost approximately $2 million. Replacement of the systems in the other 55 counties would be $4 million. And then on top of that, a yearly maintenance dollar amount would be approximately $1 million for a goal of about $7 million. Then we started down the track of fees. $3 per document was the point where we settled upon. And this part is different from what happened in the bill. So we originally thought that the 9 large counties that were doing okay on the dollar would be better off keeping the dollar and putting $2 into the fund. And that the smaller counties, the 55 other counties, would keep their $2 so that they could continue to maintain their systems and only contribute a dollar to the fund. When we got into the legislative process, we found out that that wasn't palatable. It needed to all be the same for all counties. So what we ended up with was with $1 kept in the counties and up to $2 being put into the fund. That's what ended up in the legislative language that we have before us. The other thing that we did along those lines is we outlined in the actual bill that it would be a priority for this board to fund the maintenance in those counties that are deficient before replacement and upgrades for other counties and systems, to kind of offset that, because we wanted to first make sure that the counties that needed the $2 per document were covered. And since we couldn't do that with the legislation, we wanted to include that was a priority, if that makes sense, which is just the maintenance. Maintenance comes first. Sam, it looks like you might have a question.
No.
Okay. All right.
Well, actually, I did.
Okay.
I didn't look at the statute to see if this is the case, but is there any modification of the surcharge for inflationary purposes over the years, or is that something that's just capped now? And
currently, that is just capped. Okay. That's just what we've got to work with, is up to $2 per document. So we did some estimates. The next, Deb is going to have some updated estimates for us when she kicks off her section, so I'm going to skip past that next slide. We envisioned that there would be an administering board to the fund, which is what this board is, and this has changed from what our original vision was to what actually ended up in the bill. So the makeup of the board is, we should follow what's in the bill and not pay attention to this slide here. But the board goals did stay pretty well intact. The original goals from this committee that we put together with our stakeholders was to develop a strategic plan incorporating the core goals of security, privacy, accuracy, priority/sequencing, which is meant to address race to record, online access, standardization, and preservation. So that didn't change much at all. And then if we go on, we assumed that this board would administer the grant funds, which is what ended up being written into the bill, facilitate best practices and training in areas of recording for counties. I don't think that that's actually outlined in the bill, but that was one of the initial visions. And that really was to go to the point of standardizing and making it easier for researchers to obtain documents from one jurisdiction to another. Follow up with the counties awarded grants for annual reports. I believe that part made it into the bill. And produce an annual report outlining the grants awarded and those outcomes to the legislators. Some considerations as we move forward that we wanted to put out in front of us and make sure that we remember is that some of the larger counties have already upgraded or replaced their systems recently because they've had the funds to do so. So that kind of takes a good chunk of our work kind of out for, you know, something we don't have to focus on right away because some of the large counties are already upgrading and moving forward. But of the 55 medium and small sized counties, most of their systems are going to be 10 years or older by next year. So that really highlighted where the focus is going to need to be. Hardware is failing in these counties, and the software is currently out of date. So that was where we started at the end of 2014. And the next set of documents that you have in your packet is our RFP. It's fairly slim, or not RFP, RFI, that we did in Mesa County. It's only 7 pages, the outlining request for information. But I think what's more important is this Exhibit A that was just a list of all the things that we could think of that we might want to look at in a recording system. And then I do have the responses to all these too. So I have responses for this, but it's quite voluminous if I actually printed them all out. So if any committee members want to see the responses that we got in detail, please let me know. But then we put together this spreadsheet here, and that's the summary of RFI responses. And you'll see that we sort of categorized our priorities, and then at the very end, we have Exhibit A features. And so we went through each piece of the request for information highlights, and then also each one of the 44 requirements outlined in Exhibit A, and just noted whether we thought that this vendor answered appropriately or not, or said that they could or could not accomplish something, or whether or not it was unknown to us, like we couldn't figure out from their answer whether or not that was a yes or a no. And in the last column, we have their pricing. So for small counties, medium counties, and large counties, what their RFI response was. And there was really, you know, just a handful of recording vendors that responded that are current vendors for counties in the state of Colorado, and one that's new to us, which is Helion Software, that really pretty well satisfied the request for information. There were a few where you see a lot of the red in there that are not exactly recording vendors, but they could do a piece of the RFI, so they went ahead and responded. But really, in the end, we're only looking at probably four or five vendors being responsive to that initial request for information. So that is what I brought to the committee today to kind of give you a background on where we started and what we've had done before the legislation kicked off.
Thanks, Sheila. Deb, you ready with part two?
Well, let's see. Does anyone have any questions on that first? Any concerns? Did we miss something? We have different stakeholders here at the table. Did we miss anything? Do you guys have something else that's burning that we should consider? All right, I'm gonna pass out kind of a cheat sheet here. This kind of gives you an explanation of where Sheila was talking about, you know, small counties, the 55 small ones, and the 9 big ones or the larger ones. I broke it out for everyone, and also gives you the data that we gathered from them on how many recorded documents they did for that year. I have it for 13, 14, and 15, so we can pass this around. So it gives you an idea the varying amount of recorded documents each county does on that. So, and from the RFI, one of the things that it was very valuable was that we were able to come up with some estimates in terms of what it would cost a small county, and we really are concentrating on the small counties on this. So you'll see that I'm passing out another chart that will kind of help us understand what $1 means and what $2 will mean. You can see, the data on the first sheet with this one, you can see that we updated the data to 2015. So you can see, again, most of the 3, 4, and 5 counties, their systems are still old. They're going to be over 7 years old or 10 years old soon. Let me just give you, this week I received an inquiry. I mean, it's budget time, so counties are looking at their budgets, you know, in terms of when is this board going to actually get those dollars out. And her system right now is still running on XP, which is not supported by Microsoft anymore. So she's, you know, trying to figure out, she's trying to put Band-Aids. Should I do a Band-Aid or should I just wait for the whole thing in the fall? So she was asking some really pertinent questions. And, you know, when I saw she was still on XP, I was a little scared. But anyway, maybe the partner should be more scared than me. But anyway, I can't emphasize the need enough But let's go through this little chart here. The $1, you can see with what we did for the category 3, 4, and 5, what we averaged was about $80,000 from the RFI to replace their systems. And then we just did some research this week, and like Montrose just recently replaced their system for $97,000. So that's an average. And then Pitkin County, they replaced theirs for $44,000. So you can see where there's going to be some less, and then there's going to be some more. But I think our average of $80,000 for those category counties is a pretty good number, because that was just this year that those counties actually replaced their systems. So you can see where 20% of the counties did not respond to the survey. You can see the holes in the numbers of recorded documents. But I still think that these are pretty good numbers for us to work with. You can see that with the $1 increase, we would generate about $870,000 a year. That's just a guesstimation based upon the number of recorded documents. And then you can see where in the $2 surcharge, it would be a $1.7 million each year for us. It took an average of those 3 year volumes because the real estate industry does do this. So we kind of took an average of the 3 years of the data that we had. So it wasn't just on, because in 2015, I think I had 189,000, and I'm not going to hit 189,000 this year. So it's an average of what we used on that. So that kind of gives you an idea. And then if you turn over the next slide, you can see where what the one in the year by the year 2020, the $1 would be able to replace only 45% of the category 1, 2, and 3, or the 3, 4, and 5 counties, where the $2 would replace about 92% based upon that $80,000 cost. So you can see that gives you a kind of a perspective moving forward of, you know, $1 or $2, where we would be at with it. That's all I have.
I have a question. You go ahead. Oh, just a question. Do you have an average of what, and I realize, you know, it's going to vary, obviously, but of what it would cost to replace a system by county?
By county?
Yeah, just on average, how much would a county spend? Is it like $400,000 for a system?
No, is that's what I'm saying. The category 3, 4, and 5 is $80,000.
Oh, that okay.
That's
okay.
The
I'm
number
sorry.
I'm using
okay.
for 3, 4, and 5.
I apologize.
Like, you know, Denver, you know, we spend a whole lot more, and I'm sure Mesa just replaced theirs. They spent a whole lot more than that, but on average, I think it's a good number, $80,000.
And I'm sorry, I misunderstood that.
No problem.
This is Gary. Just one related question. So what happens to the maintenance costs when you go from an old system to a new system, and how do we calculate that into the surcharge?
The maintenance costs, I mean, varies, and that's where we're hoping that the standardized RFP will kind of get that normalized. Because right now it's sad, you know, small counties are probably paying just as much maintenance costs as I am. And so we're trying to get that, you know, kind of normalized in the new RFP. And I'm paying right around $50,000, a little over $50,000 a year.
And Mesa is about $35,000 per year. However, I would want to add, too, that in that RFI, we also asked that question. So inside the responses to that RFI, which is dated now, but it's fairly recent, in October of 2014, the vendors did outline that annual maintenance cost. And you can see it in that last column. And then if we weren't sure how to figure it, it would be in their detailed response that I could provide the board.
And I also want to give a little caveat. Some of the counties don't pay maintenance costs. They have a pricing system in which that they will pay per recorded document. So there's that out there also.
Ours actually, Kit Carson County, this is Susan Corliss. Kit Carson County, we also upgraded our system last year, and it was right at the $75,000. Mm-hmm. That included training, and our first deal, but our maintenance costs actually went down with this new company, and we're just right at $10,000 a year maintenance now in the future. So,
great. So are there any questions or comments in terms of the data that we have?
So probably being, this is Gary, probably being the most ignorant member of this board, because I've never had anything to do with recording technology. Looking at this analysis, it appears to me that $2 is the start of the conversation, just the start of the conversation, that anything less than $2 isn't going to address the urgent situation or perhaps even maintain the level of performance that the counties need and their constituents. Is that an accurate generalization?
I would agree. I mean, but I think, you know, I wanted everyone to see the numbers on the two different, it says up to $2 in the statute. I mean, I guess we could do 50 cents. However, I mean, just in those whole numbers, I did, you know, state, you know, kind of hope the case would be.
Deb, I have a question for you. And if you said this, I apologize if I missed it. Do we have an idea of how many counties, you know, eight counties could go at 100,000 if we did the $1 charge? Have counties identified to us or in the conversations when you guys were putting this together when they would be ready to go?
Yes, we did do a survey along those lines.
I have a map also that we used with the state legislature that was very effective in terms of showing the actual counties that are old and those that are fairly new.
And Pam Anderson has a comment as well.
Okay, and while that's going around, Pam?
Yeah, I sort of, Gary, to your point, this is Pam Anderson. I don't know if it would be helpful. I was at the Capitol, and Deb was at the Capitol frequently, too, for the legislation. And the up to $2, I think you heard Sheila allude to the RFI, and the stakeholder group came back with a $3 number for the estimate for what would be sufficient. Our stakeholders, which are represented on this board, and that long conversation and the industry had no issues with the original vision. The limiting factor was the political vision, and I think it's important to point that out. It says up to, but it really was a political conversation with legislators, and that conversation that in the context of fee increases and the concept of an enterprise. There was other political winds floating around regarding another issue, the hospital provider fee, that had some influence on that bill. So I think it is important to just note for you, for the legislative history, that the financial analysis, I think, was sound, and the industry representatives and stakeholders group did not see concerns. Their overriding concerns was supporting the system and replacing the system. So the limiters in the bill were really political.
I'm having the flashbacks now.
Yeah.
I'm remembering. Thank you.
Okay, Deb. So,
the maps that I just passed out, the red one shows currently the $1 surcharge and those that can cover and those that cannot cover their maintenance. As you can see, it's pretty red. And then the blue map just gives you the age of the recording systems, and you can see again, you know, the dark blue are over 7 years old. So, you know, how many of you have an old PC 7 years old in your house? Just saying. So. But it gives you a geographical picture of what is really needed out there in the state.
And I would add also, this is Sheila, that these maps are a snapshot of where we were at when we gathered the data. Mm-hmm. So the 7 has now aged to 10 as of 2017.
Right.
And some of the counties on this blue map will have turned light blue if we were to update it, because Mesa, Montrose, and Larimer and Pitkin have recently moved.
So.
Oh, and Kit Carson.
And Kit Carson, too. So, yeah, you can see, yeah.
And I guess the main reason I ask that is in terms of, you know, while this, I mean, this, the map certainly is very striking and seen it before, but just as a part of the conversation, you know, I'm leaning to the $2 for sure. But if we don't know that 17 counties will be able to go in a year, I mean, I think that has to be part of the consideration as well. You know, if it's 10, and I know the money will stay in the fund, which is great. It'll stay there for the future, too. But I'm just wondering, you know, I'm just putting that out there for conversation. If it doesn't have to be $2, if it can still cover the work that needs to be done and not go up to $2, is that a realistic question?
Matt, this is Sheila, and I'm pretty sure I have that on the thumb drive that I brought with me, because we did a survey of when they thought they needed to upgrade. So I'll try to pull that up while we continue the discussion.
And also, too, I guess I should have clarified, this is an assumption if everyone replaces their system. This doesn't go to the woman or the county that just contacted me, you know, that's on XP, that, you know, her maintenance cost is, you know, killing her, and if we could have subsidized or assist her just to keep that system going for another year, that still needs to be considered, too.
Any other questions or comments in that regard? So we'll give Sheila just a sec to pull that up.
One question, did I read in here as well, the bill help counties that want to digitize? So that would be like the third priority. It would be maintenance, upgrading systems, and then digitizing?
With the caveat on all of those that small counties are given, or rural counties, I think is what the bill says, rural counties are given priority, yes.
It right there. You want me to see if I can open it on mine?
Okay, so inside the...
This one?
Yes. I apologize. I did not add it to the thing. I didn't add it to our documents.
Okay.
So it's on my PC at home.
Okay. All right. But I think, Deb, your point's well taken, though, too, about the maintenance that has to be done for the current systems, and it's not just about the replacement. Okay.
It's not just about the replacement.
Okay. Well, is there any other conversation around the fee issue? Do you have any other questions or feel like you need any more documentation or information before we put it to a vote of where we think we need to go?
I just have one question, and that is, so if we set a fee today, is there any revisiting that during the period of time before this sunsets, or is it set now and then that's it?
I'm not aware of anything in the legislation that would limit us to not reopening it at some point in time if we felt the need to. Do you guys?
No, I don't think it says that at all. It's so certainly doesn't say that we can't revisit it. Pam, the only thing I would say is that it does take a while for our vendors to make those adjustments. So it's not something that we can just, we would want to do it very often. And that can come with costs as well to counties to make adjustments to their systems.
Right.
So it would be something we would want to consider with some weight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that. That is one of the reasons why we need to establish that fee today, is because we do need to have that window between now and January 1st when we need to start collecting those fees to not only change our systems, but to let our partners know that there's an increase so they're not sending us the wrong amount of money to record a document which we have to reject. So there's a huge educational component that goes with that too.
Well, I would suggest then, just as far as parameters are concerned, I would suggest that we set it high enough that we think it might cover, you know, I was doing the math and I'm not a numbers guy, which is why I went to law school, but you know, it seems like we've got a shortfall even at the $2 surcharge. However, we may, for political reasons or for whatever reason that we decide, want to leave ourselves a little bit of wiggle room to revisit the fee in a couple of years if we have to and increase it a little bit. So I guess from my perspective, it seems that we ought to set it high enough that we think it's going to cover the lion's share of what we need to have it cover, but leave ourselves a little bit of room to revisit.
Well, go ahead.
This is Debbie, and I think the only thing that comes to mind to me is that maybe in our charter, you know, that maybe there's, you know, if there is X amount of surplus at the end of a certain year, then the board would look at it again, mm-hmm. some type of trigger that would have us look at it.
If I could ask a question. Oh, go ahead, Pam, of course.
Sorry. This is Pam Anderson. I think, you know, when looking at the data, the concern is there will take time to collect mm-hmm. before you can issue the grants. And there is a little bit, as you've heard, and I want to emphasize this on behalf of the county members, a sense of urgency, almost emergency in replacement. And so I think the discussion in the charter regarding some trigger regarding surplus revenue makes sense because you're going to be in the hole on collection and you're already in the hole on the age of these systems. So I think it is a worthy discussion regarding the political and reporting back to the legislature. I think in my experience with these types of reports in the committee, what they are looking for is, you know, do you have a surplus and why? But really, what is, are you getting good information and data on the use of the funds? And more than the level of the fee. So I just thought I'd share that to be helpful because you are going to have a delay in grant funding. And so if you set a lower rate in the beginning with the hope to maybe see what the need is and go up, I think the data that's been collected since 2004 establishes a pretty significant need.
Thank you, Pam. Gary, did you have a?
Well, yeah, so I guess I return to my earlier point. I believe that in order to take care of the urgent situation, that the highest number that statute allows is probably the prudent thing for us to consider. My question, going back to my status of ignorance here, is it relates to Moore's Law, which our technologists here at the table live with every day. So, you know, like storage and memory, those costs go down and down and down. But in some cases, we have technology that, while the cost for processing speed and storage might be going down, that the elements of the technology just get more robust as the technology is developed. In the experience of the people at this table that actually pay for this stuff, are the prices going down over time, or are they staying the same, or are they going up? Because I think that's, mm-hmm. I go back to being in favor of the higher number. But that would give us something to consider maybe in our charter that we do a review at, mm-hmm. you know, say a milestone date of a couple of years after we've done, you know, 1 or 2 years of implementation.
Gary, this is Sheila. And one of the things that we discovered when we were going through our data gathering process is that a lot of the counties need more functionality in order to achieve some of the goals. And so, for instance, many counties do not put their documents out online because they don't have a component in their software to do redaction. So I think the cost is ultimately going to go up because we're adding functionality to the majority of the base systems.
And to piggyback on what Sheila is saying, I would agree with that portion of it, but as the processing of these other functionalities within a system, our overhead, our staff costs will definitely be going down. So, I mean, there's this, you know, going on. So you're going to see the, you know, I'm sure the technology part will level out, but I'm sure that you're going to see the staff go down.
This is Gary Lease. What we found, at least in the private sector, is that it does even out. You're just paying for different things. Mm-hmm. Overhead and maintenance does go down as technology gets better, but to service that technology, those fees do go up. So, and then as well as the request for additional functionality, you're paying for newer technology to be enhanced, which also adds to the cost.
So if it all comes out in the wash, the analysis is pretty straight line.
Huh? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments or questions? Are we ready for a motion for a recommendation on where to set the fee?
One thing I've been able to dial back into the PC at Mesa County, and I did pull up our results here. So for the timing, we had it's a visual, so I'm going to say 30% of the counties responding said that they would like to supplement their current system. 50% of the counties said that they needed to replace completely, and 70% said they needed to make enhancements. So upgrade or replace, actually, I'm sorry. Upgrade or replace was 80%. Enhancements was at about 60%.
Okay, thank you for pulling that up. Okay, any questions for Sheila on that? All right, so do we have a motion of where to set the fee going forward?
This is Sheila. I would make a motion that we set the fee for the $2.
Okay. I would second the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion or comment on setting the fee at $2? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Hearing none. All right. So that's a big hurdle out of the way, huh? Right?
Well, and I think that once we get the minutes, I think this needs to be announced through CCCA post haste so that we can start working with our vendors. And then I think the next step would be that we come up with some standardized materials that we start giving to our customers so that they're not submitting inaccurate or insufficient funds for the recording. So if we had something that went into the mailings that we got, if we posted it on our websites, if we started somehow educating, so I think that would be our next step.
Might be, it might be helpful too if we had something, especially for the smaller counties that, and there was a uniform message going out. So I don't know if that's, you know, you and I have a little bit more resources than other counties do, so maybe you and I can talk about that offline.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this might be a good time for me to say unfortunately, I got into a little bit of a scheduling snafu, and I have a meeting at the Supreme Court building at 1 o'clock. It shouldn't last very long, but I didn't know if there were any other voting matters that we could take up before I had to go. I'll be back in the event.
Oh, actually, I think we've been incredibly efficient today. You know, I know we planned for a three-hour meeting to get us where we need to go, but things kind of fell in line really easily in terms of the committees and the conversation over the fees. So
okay.
I was just going to say, are there any other topics that people would like to bring up for today?
This is Sheila. The only thing I'd like to add is along the lines of what Deb just brought up about communication. I also have been pinged by counties on when might they be able to obtain funds because they're in their budgeting process now for 2017. And the question came to me from Otero County, and her commissioners were planning to cut her budget counting on these funds in 17. So important also for us to set the expectation of when grant funds may be available.
Okay. This is Deb again. Do you think we could kind of like give a high level timeline out that kind of walks everyone, all counties through, okay, the board made this decision, we need to start educating, we probably will have grant applications available in March, we'll make decisions in June for September, you know, the RFP will be, you know, I mean, just really high level so that we can give them some sense to start working with their commissioners on the budget line, because that's exactly what I had too with from the other county.
I think so. Why don't Pam and I work on that, and then we'll get something out to everybody within the next week or so, maybe, Pam, where we can work on that? Okay. And have some conversation over email, or if we need to get another call, we can do that. But that's a great point.
And not just go to the counties. I guess we probably should give that timeline to our partners too.
Right.
So that they're bar association, title companies, whatever.
Right. Okay. So any other items for discussion today? I think the only thing we have left is to set the next meeting date. So if we look out a month from now, if we stay on the Friday, I don't know how Friday works for everybody. There's Friday, October 7th, and we can do that meeting. I think we can set up a conference call to do that.
Okay.
I think that probably works better, unless everybody wants to get together again. It's always nice to see everybody, but we have elections and such. How does the 7th, October 7th, say, since we're going to do it on the phone, 9 o'clock?
Okay. That works for me.
Okay.
Yep. Agreed. October 7th.
Yep. And we can handle the audio streaming and recording on that date, too. That works out well.
Susan, Deb, good for you? Good for
good.
You both?
That's good. October 7th's good.
All right, so the next meeting date for our board will be Friday, October 7th at 9 a.m. It will be a call-in meeting, and Gary and the secretary's office will put together the call-in detail for us. All right.
Matt, I have one
yes,
more thing.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is Sheila, and you know how I am with action items?
Yes.
So I have two down that I don't know that have been fully addressed. I'm not sure who's responsible for putting together a job description for our administrative support?
I would think that we'll maybe the strategic planning group along in conjunction with Pam can work on that. And I think that ideally the timeline is to have that about ready to roll when the other committees kick in.
I think the enterprise administration probably would be better suited.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that. That's fine. Yep.
Okay. Then the other.
I'm sorry, that's the job description for the executive director?
Yes, I'm sorry. Administrator.
Or administrator, okay.
This is Pam Anderson. So I would recommend we'll set the timeline, and then for action items, once the timeline's out, the subcommittees will have distributed when they're expected to start their work. I think the administrative committee was November. I'd have to look back at my notes. But anyways,
yes.
Reason for the timeline. In the meantime, what I can do is do some research to collect some information from like enterprise or organizations that may have some, and distribute some things to those committees in advance of their work.
One question to that. Are there any other states that have a similar board as this one, or are we on the forefront of that? Or do you know?
This is Pam. I'm not aware of a model similar to this, and I think it's a point of pride for Colorado. We were the first state to go entirely for every county to have e-recording capability, and so I would not be surprised at all that this is the first of its kind.
Okay.
And there is no statewide e-recording system in existence, by the way, as well. So yeah, this is. We're pioneer. You guys are pioneers on this front.
This is Sheila. I have one other thing too, and I heard you say that you and you would work with Deb on the messaging.
Uh-huh.
But how will that work out? You guys are going to put it together and then pass it by the board electronically before it goes out?
I think so, and just something that everybody can put up in their offices, and so there's consistency around the state. I think that's
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll definitely share it first before sending it out. Sorry, Deb.
No problem. I was just going to piggyback on what Pam was saying in the sense that What's kind of unique is that recording is not governed by any state agency at this point, so there is no central governing body, and this is it now. So, yeah, and I'm not sure how other states have it, but I think that we are pioneers.
And this goes back to an earlier topic, and I'm sorry to bring it up now, but one of the things that I was thinking about, and it was something, a comment, Sheila, that you made, and that is, you know, certainly from the Bar Association's perspective, standardization of search terms, and I didn't see that in the PowerPoint, but, and we can certainly add this to strategic planning, but that is something that I have personally had issues with in terms of finding documents in other counties. So that on a statewide level, I think, needs to be part of our part of the stakeholder input.
That's a great point. And I think where you say search terms, I say index.
Right. So. Well, I think we're talking about the same thing.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments before we adjourn? All right. Hearing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thanks, everyone.